Good morning, Zion Mennonite Church. It is, well, I can't see any of you, actually. I can see just one person in the front row. Oh, wow, there's everyone. Okay, thank you. Our very capable tech crew. I wish I could be with you. Let me tell you how much I wish I could be with you. For those of you who maybe started coming to Zion in the last year, you don't realize that whenever I started in this role, the first several sermons that I preached were over Zoom. We were all on Zoom, and I don't miss it, preaching on Zoom, but I am so grateful for the technology to be able to preach and share in this way. For the number of times that I've preached and shared, I felt a little bit nervous this morning, I think, just because I'm used to being with you and I'm not. So thank you so much for graciously receiving a sermon over a screen. I'm here in live person. It's not a video recording, and I'm so grateful and excited to be with you. This is Transfiguration Sunday, and that's exciting. It means that we're about to move into this next very holy season. And thank you so much for the music and for reading the scripture and for a time of recognizing what it means to be a part of God's family, be a part of the church. Matthew 17 is the first passage that we just heard. And the secondary passage that I'd like to share from is from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read it for you. Psalm 50, 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. This is probably one of the psalms that was used in one of the. This is one of. It was probably used in one of the pilgrimage festivals. So either the Festival of Weeks or the Festival of Booths, shelter tents. The Festival of Tents sometimes is called. It happens in the fall and it celebrates God's provision. As we remember God journeying with and leading and providing for God's people as they moved and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, as well as God's very present faithfulness with God's people. And whenever everyone would be gathered in, they'd have to build extra tents and shelters and booths, sukkot, so that all the pilgrims who had made their way to the temple city would have a place. This ingathering, calling of people home, is what this Psalm 50 would have been used for. God, the God of the whole universe, the one who orders things rightly in righteousness. We remember God's historic provision of water in the midst of wilderness, of manna, bread that comes each day. Give us today our daily bread, and of clothes that do not wear out in the midst of the wilderness. We remember God's historical action as well as God's very present provision for us. Back to Matthew 17. This feels like Matthew 3, doesn't it? A little bit. This pre-wilderness baptism that happens in Matthew 3, a physical representation of God's presence with us. That's what theophany is all about. God revealing God's self through a physical representation. In Matthew 3, it's the Spirit of God that descends alights like a dove, right? But here, it's not as a dove that accompanies God's voice. It's a cloud that envelops the people who are there. Cloud and fire were the physical representations of God's presence with God's people in the wilderness. In both Matthew 3 And in Matthew 17, it's the voice that comes, God's voice says, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased," in both passages. And right after Matthew 3, Jesus is led into the wilderness. Matthew 17, it begins this downward ascent towards Jerusalem. And I say downward ascent kind of ironically because Jerusalem is up. I've never been there, but from what I understand, Jerusalem is up. It's a psalm. The psalms are psalms of ascent as people climbed the mountain to God's holy hill. But it's Jesus's journey downward where he begins explaining to his disciples that he has to suffer and that he's going to die and that he's going to humble himself in a way that leads to all of Easter and Holy Week, this self-emptying and this downward motion of Jesus. In Matthew 17, we also get listen to him. We don't get listen to them, being Elijah and Moses representing the prophets and the law, in parallel with Jesus. Peter's response is, let me build three structures. One, of course, Jesus comes first, and then also for Moses and Elijah. But the voice from heaven that comes from God is one of listen to him. Listen to my beloved son, the one with whom I am well pleased. And then, you know, Matthew 13, he's, like I said, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he's led by the Spirit of God. If you remember the temptations, you know, we have this 40 thing that happens in Scripture a bunch of times, and sometime we should really unpack the 40 in all of Scripture. It'd be a really great thing to spend some time thinking about. But we have the 40 of the wilderness, right? We have the 40 years of wilderness. We have the 40 days of temptation, and then we have these 40 days of Lent that are kind of following in parallel. If you remember the temptations of Jesus, you'll remember that when Satan comes to tempt Jesus, when the devil comes to tempt Jesus, the first two lines that he opens with are, "If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because God will command his angels concerning you." And Satan quotes Scripture to Jesus. "If you really are the Son of God," is what we're led to read between the lines. If you're really the Son of God, would you be struggling with these physical hungers? Would you be struggling? Don't you think that God would step in and would act and would move and provide in supernatural ways? But we just went over this in Matthew 3 and here in Matthew 17. We just went over this. "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." This reminds me of Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2. "I have called you by name and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you move through the flood waters and when you enter into the fire and the flame, my provision will sustain and protect and care from you. I have called you by name and you are mine." That's the shelter. That's the shelter. The shelter is God, who calls us by name, who welcomes us, and who protects and provides for us in ways that are impossible in the midst of wilderness. Peter recognizes this holy moment, this enveloping, this very presence of God, right? In this holy moment, right? And he tries to catch lightning in a bottle. He tries to preserve a holy moment with shelters and booths that he can build by his own two hands. It says, "I can build," right? But our shelter, our provision, our shade by day and our defense by night isn't what we build with our own two hands. It's God. God provides shelter and sanctuary. Sanctuary, you know, throughout history has meant a lot of different things to cry out and to declare sanctuary. It's a place of protection and rest, of security. This sanctuary, if you look around you, this sanctuary at Zion Mennonite Church is a physical representation of God's presence with us, providing for us, sheltering and be as a sanctuary for us and for the whole world. The church represents God's sheltering presence with us. And that's what our sanctuary is. And so we hold together these different images of a cloud that envelops and leads, of Jesus, who says to Peter just 6 days beforehand. If you heard Justin's reading, it said 6 days later, right? It's 6 days since what happened. Peter made this big declaration. Jesus confronted him and said, "Get behind me." And then said, "If anyone wants to follow after me, they have to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." If Matthew 16 is about following Jesus, Matthew 17, this passage, is about listening to Jesus and not running out ahead. So, what does all this mean in the midst of our beginning of a Lenten journey together at Zion? I think I wrote down three things, and it might turn into four because that happens sometimes whenever I preach, or five, but I think it's three. The first thing is that for those of us who journey and who sojourn, we need to know who we are as we move into this season of Lent, of wilderness. We need to know who we are. We need to know that as God's Spirit leads us, not just into good things, but also to confront evil where it stands. That's what happens in Matthew 4. Jesus confronts evil. We need to know who we are. We need to know whose we are. We need to remember our baptism. Remember that God has called us by name and that we are God's own. And when we are tempted to say or to fall into the trap of, well, if you really are God's child, why are you sick? Or why is this terrible thing happening? Or why are you struggling in this relationship? Or why are you? We need to remember that God has called us by name, that we have been baptized into God's family, and that Scripture is bread that sustains us. Jesus's response to the first temptation is that people can't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I hope that over the next 40 days, we're able to carry those three things, that God has called us by name, our baptism, and Scripture, that God would sustain us through God's very word. The second thing, so we need to remember who we are. The second thing is that God is our shelter. That even if we're going to sojourn, even in the wilderness, even in the places where there is no water, where there is not bread in sight or hope of whatever wilderness we're in ending, that God will sustain us. And if you're tired, and if you're weary, and if you are weighed down and heavy laden, if you feel like you can barely continue on now, already, before we enter into the season of Lent, you need to hear this word: God is your shelter. God is a sanctuary providing for you, whether it's been something that's been short and furious, or it's been something that's been for years and years and years. God is our shelter. God is the one who calls to us, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will set you and cover you in a place of dwelling and put you on the rock." That's the second thing. God is our shelter. And the third thing, we must follow Jesus. We must follow Jesus and listen to him as the church. And I told Sarah and I, Pastor Sarah and I, we connect, we you know, every week we have phone calls, especially leading up to me preaching. And it was so fun for me. It was fun for me to think about the ways that I've experienced Zion, us as a congregation, as a community, doing these things, following Jesus and listening to him. The way, because when we follow Jesus and we listen to Jesus, we become a part of God's sanctuary, right? I think about that song, right, that we used to sing at camp all the time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living. We can be, we are the church. And when we listen to and follow Jesus, we provide shelter and sanctuary for all who come. And at our best, and I could think of, I made a list of like an actual list of 10 or 15 things right off the bat of the way that this community and this congregation has been a sheltering sanctuary for me whenever I was in my 20s, for my friends, for me as a late teenager, and even presently. This congregation wants to follow Jesus and listen to Jesus. And I just think that whatever this next 40 days holds for Lent, I think that we need to double down on that impulse to follow Jesus and to listen to him. Let's find ways as a community to not run out ahead, but to really follow right behind and take up the things that Jesus would have us take up as the church. So those are the three things. Let's remember who we are. Let's receive God's shelter in God's sanctuary. And let's follow and listen to Jesus as we move through the season of Lent. Let's pray together. God, for those of us who are tired and weary, thank you that you shelter us. For those of us who feel like we've already been in the wilderness for much longer than 40 days, God, I pray that your care, your hand, your sustaining presence would be with us and on us, that you would provide manna from heaven. God, I pray for us as we journey, that we would remember who we are, that we are yours, that you have called us by name, and that's good, such good news. And I pray, God, also that we as your church would be a sheltering sanctuary for those around us and for each other, that we would physically represent, physically manifest your deep love for us and for the whole world. We give you thanks, for you are good. Amen.